The thoughts, views, and opinions expressed on Group Chat are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of Buffalo Toronto Public Media, its leadership, or its affiliates. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to Group Chat. Today, I'm Bentley, and I'm joined with special guest Tom Calderon and, of course, Charles.
Wait, is he a special guest as well, or how do we, what's the demarcation to this?
So basically, you see that Naila is not here today.
Yes.
So we're kind of like the three musketeers.
Got it. Okay. Gotcha.
Since we're doing throwback references today. Anybody even knows what that means anymore? but Naila is out today. No, she has not had her baby. That's still a couple months away. We asked, when you look in our building and you see, well, who is the, you know, top line media person? Tom Calderon.
Let me tell you something. By the way, I do want to say one thing. Will she have the birth live on Group Chat? Could she do that?
Well,
it might raise some flags on YouTube, but I think of the ratings.
Well, you know, funny story was she thought she was going to be delivering when the first reports of Haley Steinfeld being pregnant, she was wondering if she would be delivering at Children's at the same time. Because originally people thought July, which means they would be in Buffalo.
Right.
And she's like, I don't want all those cameras around, so I don't know if she'll go for the Group Chat.
All right, okay.
But, you know,
all
she's
right,
a team player.
Yeah, she is a team player.
Another reason we brought Tom on is, one of the reality episodes that we did, we kind of glazed over the subject of the psych evaluations, as you know, from, you know, that was in deep discussion, especially over Secret Life of Mormon Wives and also The Bachelorette. And we wanted to make sure we addressed it. We said we would dig into this for you. So, you know, we have an expert or somebody that has actually worked with this before. So, Tom, can you talk about your experiences and what happens in those cases?
Yeah. So just to set the table, these shows, particularly the reality shows, are done by third party producers, don't necessarily just show up and then it's like, okay, Thursday is 8:00. Here you go. They are usually, when they're done by third party, obviously the format is approved. It's both the network in this case and the producers are always working out, you know, in particular the beats of the show. But the casting is really on the third party producers. So we kind of inherit who they cast. During the early 2000s and certainly the mid 2000s, 2006 to, I'd say probably about 19, everyone tried to up their game on reality, the most outrageous. I mean, when we ran Flavor of Love, the stairway scene and stuff, so everybody tried to up the ante on all this. But what was happening was you just also ratcheted up the personalities you had on there that had a background. So we weren't the first, but we were one of the first to start doing psych evaluations to anybody that was cast. And these were just not like a piece of paper going, oh, okay. Like we would have, I'm not exaggerating. The meetings would happen twice a month and we would sit there for hours and just go through police records and potentially social media posts and things like that to make that decision whether or not we want that person to represent, at the end of the day, a network, because we can be in control of those 12 to 18 weeks of taping. But after that, we can't. And you just want to make sure that as the season's going on, that nothing potentially bad could happen. And sometimes things did. So you want to get ahead of it.
You know, in case you don't know, Tom Calderon has been a part of MTV, VH1, at Viacom. So you were actually at the forefront of a lot of the reality shows that blew up and, you know, kind of started this trend from my perspective anyway, if I think of the shows that you've worked on.
Yeah, Rock of Love, all of those, you know, Love and Hip Hop. And again, you don't want a boring cast. You know, you want people with a bit of a spark. But also, we were also up against, you know, is it authentic? So in other words, when we did Mob Wives, the reason why that show worked so well is because they truly were friends since they were like 6.
Yeah.
So you couldn't really fake that. In some regards, you're kind of forcing people in a house. I think Bjorn Murray, who did Real World, kind of the OG of all of this, really did a great job of casting because despite the fact they didn't know each other, there was a bit of a thread of a knowledge base or a background that would make it easier in conversations and stuff.
Yeah. And I think that was part of the draw to Real World, too, is seeing these people that don't know each other and then figuring that out.
Right.
So, no, I appreciate your insight. And, you know, obviously we have fun on this show, but we also want to make sure that we're being mindful that we're also putting out good information and all angles.
Yeah. And I'll just tell you just how borderless the show is. I was in a cab in Manhattan watching the show, and I got a little protective of my peers that run networks, and just to make it clear that these things are taken very seriously. And for those that don't, the repercussions would happen. So I just want to make sure that people knew that.
Yeah,
that it
course.
Is taken seriously.
Because we see one side of it. We see what we see on social media. We see the shows. You know, we don't know how everything is made behind the scenes. Yeah. So I appreciate you sharing that and that insight.
And one day we could do an episode of our media training for Mob Wives and how that went, because that was very interesting.
Okay. See, this is what he does. He drops the bomb. And then we're like, okay, now we'll go to, you know.
Can you
put a pin in that, Charles? I think I already saw him typing over there.
I will put a pin in that.
Well, State of the Scroll, our little segment where we go through the latest topics and our group chat, but also, you know, social media, everything in the zeitgeist out there.
Yes.
And then Charles curates that, because there's probably 25 things that we could talk about today.
True.
What do you got first?
There's a lot of stuff, and I had to narrow it down because I knew we were going to have Tom on to do that breakdown. So first things first, the big news that broke literally yesterday late in the afternoon was Live Nation Ticketmaster loses the monopoly lawsuit. They have been illegally operating as a monopoly, overcharging fans.
Yeah. It is so complicated because artists right now, no matter what format, the only way they're making an income now is by touring. This is it. So, and there are some artists on every level of music, alternative, country, pop, et cetera, that have said, you know, I'm keeping my ticket prices low. I'm making sure that I'm not, you know, overcharging. But I guess where it gets a little frustrating is, and I'll use the Buffalo Sabres as the best example, during the drought, you actually would pay more for service fees than you would the ticket itself, which I think is what raised a lot of, not the Sabres in specifically, but just that, why am I paying more for these tickets when the service charges and stuff? So, and where is it going to, frankly? Mm-hmm. You know, long gone are the days where they would put, Live Nation would put a dollar surcharge and say, this is going to a charity, or this is going to, you know, what have you. And they're just kind of these fees now, I think people are having a problem getting through.
Yeah. We kind of got into that conversation a little bit with wrestling. Charles taught us a lot about wrestling last week. And I think, you know, when we see these things, it's, I think people just want to know how it's going to affect them.
Right.
Because, again, as we talk about stuff behind the scenes, like what does it mean to the audience or the consumer? And who knows? I mean, this stuff takes these types of lawsuits, and they take forever to actually be settled or for you to see results. And I also think it had to do with some of the people involved and emails exchange and whatnot. But I mean, you may see, I don't know how quickly you would see things go down, but I don't think this is like an immediate, next week you're going to get cheaper fees on your Sabres tickets. I don't know.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's definitely something to watch.
Yeah, I mean, there's also the issue around, you know, Charles, as you probably saw too, is some artists are actually having to increase their ticket prices because gas is higher now and stuff.
Yep.
And also, you know, let's face it, and I'm not defending Ticketmaster or Live Nation or frankly anybody, but the way that artists have stepped up their game as far as the staging, the video screens, the amount of, you know, look at someone like Pink. I mean, she's flying across, you know, arenas and everything. That does cost money. So I'm not, again, where does that come from?
Right.
You know, is that taken out with a service charge? Who knows? But I think, you know, it's just becoming more and more cost prohibitive for a lot of families to, they have to make decisions now. Am I going to this or am I going to that? As opposed to, let's do a bunch of things this summer.
Right.
You know?
So, keeping up with like the concerts and movies, or not movies, but concerts and artists, the 2026 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees were announced. Just to name a few, Phil Collins, Billy Idol, Iron Maiden, Joy, Division.
Yep.
Oh, you can't. That's going to be his favorite one to talk about.
I'm voting for them. Yeah, keep going.
Oasis, Sade, Luther Vandross, and the Wu-Tang Clan are some of the people that were announced. some people that got snubbed, New Edition, Mariah Carey, Met the Man has came out and spoke out about the New Edition snub. What do you guys think about the...
Just from my perspective now, seeing it from the, from its birth to where it is now, it's the wrong name, frankly. I think because people get very literal about rock and roll, even though
right.
rock and roll is a spirit, not necessarily a sound. But yeah, New Edition should be in there. I mean, again, I always look at it, you know, what was the influence on pop culture? What was the influence on, you know, fashion, all the other stuff that goes into it? And some of the people that are the voting members are very old school about their positions on this. They need to actually reimagine what that actually is at this point.
I just don't understand how Mariah Carey's not in there.
You know, it's kind of like the reason why, what was the other pop artist that still has never gotten in? Not Bon Jovi, but somebody else is like, you may not like them, but they're not. Yeah, there's something about it's not cool is kind of some part of that filter, which is not necessarily what the people want all the time.
Well, and like we've said before, when the nominations were announced, they're playing catch up, basically, because during the time that these artists were out, they weren't acknowledging them. So now they're trying to right, I think, past wrongs.
Sure,
and
sure.
being like, you know, sure. we didn't get that person and that person hasn't been nominated. And, you know, so I think that's still the case. I was excited to see that Wu-Tang got in because I am always skeptical of these awards. So I was happy about that. And that was such a moment and created... such a, like, they were so influential. And like, you know, Tom was saying, like, rock is a feeling. And I mean, a lot of their riffs and everything are very associated with rock music.
So. Wu-Tang is for the kids. Just like group chat is for the kids. Make sure that you like, comment, and subscribe to this channel. But speaking of artists, and I know Bentley, you kind of wanted to touch on this in the beginning, but, Nyla's not here to do her Britney rant, but Britney has checked into rehab for substance abuse. This stems from the more recent case with her being arrested for a DUI, which we discussed on here.
It's tough because a lot of times when you see these DUI arrests and, you know, any kind of like public things that happen with celebrities, it's a lot of times it's like a PR move, like, okay, you're going to rehab whether you like it or not. But I think she has mental health issues, and that's also not talked about a lot, is that cross between like substance abuse and mental health and people self-medicating and all of that. And I think that we've seen it for a while in different forms. And, you know, I want her to get the help she needs. I am a very nostalgic Britney fan. And I just, when I look at her and what she does, I see her trauma. So I hate to, like, we can kind of like laugh and stuff about the Instagram videos and the knives, but people are watching them.
Right.
And, you know, in the end, it's like she wants to perform, but she's also locked in her house. Yeah. You know, so there's so many ways you can interpret this.
Well, you look at it this way too. This is the frustrating part. Even the Justin Timberlake video that just got surfaced last week. First off, I don't pretend to understand, or I kind of know how much these people make on a yearly basis. Can't find a driver. You know, can't take an Uber. That part still confuses me on so many levels. That's the first thing. The second thing is, many of those stars, and in movies and everywhere else, they live in a culture of yes. They're never told no.
Yep.
So you're never in a place where someone's going to say, yeah, it's not a good idea. If that was the case, then Garth Brooks would have never done Chris Gaines. You know, there is that moment where you have to be told no. You know, we always would laugh when we did the Video Music Awards. We'd have this gift room where the artists would come in and take their gifts. And I'm like, these are the people that can actually afford all of these things, these Gucci glasses and stuff. But they're just, everything is, you know, can I just get the plane to run out to LA real quick? Can you just fire that thing up? I'll head over to Teterboro real quick, and I got to get to LA, take the kids to Disneyland. We just decided to go now. Yeah, sure. You know, like that culture just, and I think that's why you get into that thing of the Instagram posts and stuff that no one looks at.
Yep.
They said, you know, I'm in charge, hit send. And, but for her, sadly, you know, stage moms and everything else that goes into that world. She just was never, Johnny Wright was her best manager, frankly, mm-hmm. but he had to make a decision when Brittany and Justin broke up. Who am I going with? He could not do both. Yeah. So sadly, when she was managed by Johnny, she was on her game and mm-hmm. then.
Oh, that's interesting.
Kind of went the other way. Yeah. And look at Justin, despite the fact what just happened now, Justin's been a pretty buttoned up kid,
yeah. or
gentleman now, you know, for quite a while because of Johnny Wright. Johnny's a great manager.
Yeah.
He's a great manager.
Last but not least, and I think that this is going to be a conversation that I'm going to have to rant about on another episode because we do have bigger and things to dive into. But Canada, Ontario, you guys have a Pizza Hut and y'all decided to put hot dogs in the stuffed crust pizza. That's disgusting. And some Americans are upset. I don't understand why it.
Well, you also have people that are, this is a very controversial topic. It's taken a lot for Charles to be able to process his thoughts right now. And
I
get
can't
this
really
out.
Say what I want
Charles,
to say
I'm
right
so
now.
I'm so sorry. You're struggling with this and we'll get you the help you need. You know,
but I know we have reporters that will be going because allegedly Fort Erie is going to have this
yes.
pizza and, you know, for investigative purposes,
sure.
there are reporters yeah. from BTPM NPR that will be staking this out. So you can great. Maybe get your validation or maybe not. Maybe you're going to be mad because they're going to like it. But we are doing the research because we are a research-based
show. It's disgusting. I got to take a break. We got to take
He's
a break.
Angry.
I'm
we yeah. got a comment.
Yeah, we got to go. We gotta
have a hot dog and relax.
All right. Coming up next on Group Chat, we will dive into media, nostalgia, and more.
Public media keeps our community talking and thinking together. Hear perspectives that matter on BTPM NPR. Experience meaningful stories on BTPM PBS. Enjoy performances that connect us on BTPM Classical and discover new voices on BTPM The Bridge. These are conversations that shape our region and open our world. This is public media. Visit btpm.org.
Welcome back to Group Chat. As you can see, more people have entered our chat. Tom Calderon decided to stay in the chat and stick around, even though we traumatized him with that pizza situation that we just talked about. But he's still here with us.
Thank God I have a good cardiologist. That's all I'm going to say.
I'm joined by Jordan Lima, producer and CEO of Lemur Studios here
That's
in
me.
Buffalo. Yeah. And we got her to come on with us. She's been working in Buffalo this week.
Yeah.
Regina Barber.
In a
cubicle. she's host of the NPR podcast Shortwave and also a contributor to one of another favorite show of mine, NPR podcast Pop Culture Happy Hour.
Yes.
I love that how you connect science and pop culture.
Yeah. Yeah, Star Trek.
So you probably as a
That's the answer. Just
it's Star the answer
Trek.
For yeah. everything. Yeah.
All right.
As a scientist, you probably wouldn't agree with people eating hot dog pizza.
No, I totally want to eat hot dogs pizza, like right now. I love Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut is so much better in other countries, too, but fun fact for everyone.
Oh, well, that's something we didn't talk about. You got to put a pin in that one, too,
yeah.
there, Charles.
I've been to many Pizza Huts around the world.
Okay.
Yep.
Learn another, something new every day.
Yeah, we'll talk about that yeah. another time.
So the reason we have this great crew together is we're kind of doing a part two of our last media discussion of all of these mergers in digital media and talking about some of the new trends, you know, Gen Z and this generation going back to legacy media and yeah. physical.
They're
going to
be making
media.
like mixtapes soon.
Oh, listen, we already talked about it. Or the CDs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where you had to write, you wrote the theme on the CD.
Yeah.
The
people
tracks.
Just burn CDs for me, which
Love
is.
Love mix.
Yeah.
Love mix.
Summer.
Yes. Yeah.
Summer concert.
Yeah.
Do you mind?
I didn't get that. It's got like title of album. Like, I don't know. I get, oh, okay. I guess I wasn't as cool.
Well, I
literal,
mean,
literal, it's okay.
Yeah. But even fashion and everything.
Yes.
So $1 billion in vinyl sales this past year. It mm-hmm. is the largest, it's the highest it's been since, what album do you think, Charles?
Saturday Night Live.
Nope, wait, don't give it away. What album would you think was the last time vinyl? Oh, Saturday Night Fever.
That's what I meant.
Michael Jackson.
What album?
Bad?
Thriller.
How about you?
As far as like what, give me an era. Like,
no, I can't give you
an era. Okay.
What was the last time vinyl sales were close that made $1 billion?
Probably 70s, 80s.
So Michael Jackson. Yeah. Thriller was the last time that vinyl sales during that era. Yeah.
And we've done the inflation calculations,
I won the prize,
right?
Apparently, yes. Okay. That's according
I'm just like, you know, it's not it's
that's
not
according to Hollywood Reporter, by the way. The actual
just a fact check.
the actual numbers.
Yes.
But also CD sales, $312 million in the last year. That seems pretty high to me.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm not a math person. But we have the Taylor Swift effect that has gone into the last year and the different versions of different colors of vinyl and artists obviously trying to make money in different ways. So it's not just one version of the album. It's four different ones. Mm-hmm.
But here's where the math plays into the artist and the label's favor.
Yeah.
It used to be buy the CD, buy the album. I don't care if you listen to it ever again. I got your money. The streaming part's like, I need you to stream this every day. So they're trying to bypass that now and go, okay, at least we've got the guaranteed income by this $1 billion sale.
Yeah.
And putting a splatter on a vinyl is not as expensive as, you know, putting something up on, you know, a streaming music service and trying to figure out how you're going to market to get that into those playlists and stuff. That's really expensive.
Yes. Mm. And there was just a big story on, it was surrounding Geese where you know, that's what labels are paying for now is playlist placement, TikTok placement, you know, finding the right things that look organic.
Right.
And there's like a whole market around that too. But apparently Gen Z likes the analog. They're going back to radio.
They think tapes are cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was like, tape. I mean, I remember taping like radios, like songs off the radio on like a tape deck.
Right.
Like, and that's apparently, that blows their mind. They're like, that's so cool. I'm like, is it? Like, because it didn't feel cool at the time.
Right.
No, you felt like you just.
I was like 10.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
You know what?
Yes, it was cool.
I can't afford to buy this tape, so I'm going to just tape it off the radio.
Steal it off the radio. Yeah.
There was a sticker on CDs, cassettes, and vinyl back in the day that labels put on, and it said, copying music is killing the industry or something like that.
Yes,
remember that?
Yes,
I do.
And I'm like,
that.
No, bad music is killing it. So we'll let that go. But, but
it's helping you.
It's right. Exactly. You know, cause at least you're passing it around. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And, but that's encouraging at least for the artist. Cause at least it's a guaranteed income now, you know, as opposed to streaming, which is not, you know,
And it's something they have that they can collect from the artist because you don't, you know, with streaming, it's just kind of there and you don't really own it.
Well, I think you're getting to the point of like, why? Why do people not want to use this super amazing device that has everything in the world on it? And then also every notification that you would ever get from everything.
Right,
and you know, just a lot of baloney you don't want. If you want to enjoy music, you just want to enjoy music sometimes. You don't want to get a text message from your friend that beeps in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's
remember
it,
when
it
you
takes
had
you
the
out
Walkman
of it.
On? You just had the Walkman on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're in your own world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no interruptions.
Well, I think it all, when you say why, Jordan, like, I think it's like, I was looking at this, we've talked about this on Shortwave a lot, this like loneliness epidemic, like, and the Surgeon General report that came out in 2023, and he talks about, you know, how people are just not communicating with each other. People are not leaving the house. People are not doing things. And I think when you have streaming, you're kind of like by yourself listening to music, but and then you kind of like walk out and maybe go to the record store. Maybe you go get a CD. Maybe you share, you know, tapes and make a mixtape. Like this is actually like, hopefully, you know, a step towards that more of a connection.
Yeah.
That's what I think, at least.
Well, and along with that, they're going to more, they are looking, people are looking for curation instead of an algorithm.
Oh, yeah.
So playlists that people are making or, you know, I know for a fact that Apple Music for their stations, they have people programming those.
Yes.
You know, so where the technology is there, people are still wanting some sort of human element and they do sometimes want voices, which is good for all of us, yeah. I think. And then, Jordan, you actually kind of work in archiving and collecting, right?
Well, no. So I'm into photography primarily. So this is a little out of my element. But okay. In the same way, it's like, it's a physical media that's a rejection of the phone media.
Yes.
And in photography, I do like a lot of film photography and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I find that a lot of people are doing that now. They have film cameras.
Yes.
They don't want to take a picture with their phone. They want to have an experience in a physical thing. And they don't want to look at it right away and have it be a computational right. image. Right. They want it to be like that real experience. So in that way, it's a visual physical media that people are enjoying a lot more. But it's in the same wheelhouse as yes. people buying records and people buying legacy media.
Yeah. Do they feel more a part of it? Do they feel more like they can actually have it?
Well, okay. So you take a picture and you do have it right away on your phone, right? It's
right.
there. But then maybe you take three or four and you've got like four in a row and then it just disappears into this carousel forever and you want to go pull it up and it's like, oh, let me find it. I have to scroll through 1,000 pictures and it just gets lost. It just becomes this pile of stuff. Whereas, film media is just way more intentional and it's slower paced and it means more when you do it.
You could actually see the process as well. Yeah. Like if you have a dark room and you do that whole process. I think people are very interested in what it takes to make the image versus instant gratification.
Right. Well, right.
The rejection of what you're talking about too with the data centers and AI and stuff like that, where you can have AI gen images and it makes this beautiful picture or whatever. And it's just this like,
yeah.
What is it? Where did it come from? Who cares about it? And this is something that you can make yourself. You can get away from all of that stuff. And honestly, I think a lot of people are so, beaten over the head with their phone for everything all the time
yeah.
that they want to disconnect from it. You go in a dark room. You don't want your phone to be there. You don't want light. You know, you have to
sit in the dark.
Yeah, yeah. And it's quiet. And it's, it doesn't have to be quiet. You can have music. I listen to music. But it's an experience where you can, be alone. You can be with your thoughts in a nice way. And you're not just scrolling all the time. I think all of this is rejection of the scrolling. Infinite feed. Yeah, the infinite scroll feed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Do you think this is going to impact movie theaters? You mentioned going to a record store.
Yes.
Or people wanting to be in different spaces and actually experiencing the media. Will this help the theaters?
Well, I sure hope so. I love movie theaters.
Me too.
Because
me
what
too.
Happens when you go to watch a movie at your home, if you don't have great discipline, you end up scrolling instead of watching a movie.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then the whole thing is lost because you're not even watching it. You're just having background noise while you scroll.
There were those reports, right? Sorry.
I was going to say, the sad thing is about that is there's stories out there now that where if you're pitching Netflix or any of these things, they'll ask you, is your show a show that if someone's scrolling, they could still follow it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a note
really
now.
Sad. Really,
and it's like, what does it mean by that?
In the heart.
Right. But yeah. it's like, well, what does it mean by that? Well, where your recaps are now longer than they used to be and stuff. So
it's like explaining every kind of scene. Like, I don't know if any of you watch anime, but like in every anime, they explain what is happening over and over and over again. And that's what's happening now in movies.
Right.
I will say I watched Sinners opening night in Oakland, where, the director is from. And it was like the most fun I have had in a theater in a long time. People were screaming at the screen and they were like, don't do that. What are you doing? And I was like, yeah, and it was like a food place too. And I was just like, it's been so long since I had such a good experience. And I will say this is these last 2 years are the first time I've ever bought records in my life. So like I've joined this trend.
Yeah.
Unconsciously.
I'm so mad because I got rid of, I've just moved so much and I was I was moving and storing all of these CDs.
All CDs and tapes.
And not listening to them. Mm-hmm. So one day I just did this. It's like an app where you register it all and you mail it away.
Yeah, they're not in business anymore, but I know which one you're talking
who
about.
Who knows where they ended up?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And now I'm
for
like,
me, it was 4 years ago. Yeah, I got rid of everything.
Yes.
Yep.
But then I started collecting vinyl. So now I have all that. But like, I'm mad because those versions of original versions are not, everything's remastered. Like Nirvana, Nevermind.
I had the Smashing Pumpkins box set, that black and white one. I don't know.
Ugh. Does that even exist anymore?
I think my ex-husband has it. Maybe I can get it back.
You bring up an interesting point, though. Physical media. the majority of the records that I have are not with me anymore because of a breakup. So I wish I had them and I don't have them. It's a sad thing. The physical media went away.
Yeah. People write songs about that. I can probably think of
that. We'll make new media about it. Like Smashing Pumpkin CDs.
Like the New Order t-shirt.
Oh my God, no. Yeah. Oh no, we had a box of t-shirts too. Yeah. Well, I don't, you know, Morrissey's problematic now, so I don't have any of that.
But that's another thing is merch and people paying a lot for all of those old concert t-shirts that we had that.
Well, you talked about curation and I've been to so many like pop-up thrift places in DC, you know, like markets and my partner's younger than me. So I go to these things. There's all these young people like, and they're like, these clothes have been curated. And I'm like, they look like clothes my grandma would wear. Like, why would you want this? And they're like, it's $50. So I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like, but this curation is really this thing now. Like they want like somebody who knows something, like knows better than you to pick something for you.
Yeah.
So that's fine, I guess. I'm just not going to pay $50 for it.
It does hurt a little bit when I do go to these because I'm a sucker for those shops, but and I see a t-shirt that I once owned for like $75. And I'm
it's
just
so
like,
true. I'm like, all the rainbow stripes. I'm like, I had that shirt.
But you know what's interesting too? You go to some of those vintage clothing markets. They do one in the Village in New York City like four times a year.
Yeah.
And now you know who to go to because you're that's like, true. Oh, I like
you
that person.
They've curated properly.
Correct, right.
You're right. You like
I'm just saying like all of a sudden now, like vinyl, like a record store.
Yeah.
You know, even now starting to see at record stores again the, oh, Tiffany likes this song, blah, blah, blah. So now you're like trying to also match to a personality as well, which I think is also important too.
It also helps this loneliness epidemic we just talked about, right?
Yeah.
So like, I think, I keep on talking about my partner, but he just got this like smaller phone because like a lot of people are just like, I'm just tired, like you said, Jordan, of scrolling.
Smaller phone for a minute.
It's just like trying to discourage yourself, you know, and a lot more people are picking up knitting, you know, like I picked up knitting with them like in the last couple of years.
I tried. It's too hard.
Oh,
you
I
can
love
still
it.
Scroll on a smaller phone.
But
it is limiting. It is limiting. So I had a smaller phone. It was called the Jelly Star.
He has the Jelly Star Max, by the way.
So the Jelly Star, it did help with scrolling, but you'd still scroll. But what I would never do is important stuff for business or texting people back because I wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah.
But it worked.
That's why I miss the BlackBerry.
But
I do miss the BlackBerry.
I miss the keyboard.
Well, the keyboard is like half of it's my thumb. And I was like, how do you type?
Yeah, my sausage fingers can't do that. It's like my hot dog fingers, Charles.
The Simpsons quote, right? Like, your fingers are too fat to dial.
Right, exactly.
Like,
yes, remember
Simpsons
that one?
Quotes.
Oh, that was the best one.
Bringing it back. Bringing it back to the 90s.
Oh, when he took the wand and he had a, oh my God.
That's one of my favorite episodes.
Marge, I'm wearing my fat suit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, bringing that up.
Sorry.
This next generation.
Yeah.
I feel, am I that person right now where I'm like, this.
Get off my lawn.
I've been that going person back, since I've been 25. I don't even care.
I'm an old soul.
Yeah.
But again, Gen Z going back to all of those shows.
It's because, one, they like us. They like their parents. Like, my kid is 17. She likes hanging out with me.
Yeah.
So I think that's why. I think there's some of it. They're like, oh, we do this together. We hang out. Again, the loneliness thing. Like the kids that actually like hanging out with their parents. Okay, not every kid likes hanging out with their parents. But like, I think more nowadays do than
I
was a kid.
I agree with that.
Yeah. You brought up community and loneliness quite a few times. And I think there is a community around physical media that people latch on to.
Yes.
In photography world, you know, in town, there's a SIPA gallery. There's a film club. People get together and they'll do a print night and everyone comes in. And it's weird because everyone's like alone together. You know, you're all dialed into
that's
a machine.
Fine.
Well, it's parallel play. When you're a child, you do parallel play. You're not necessarily interacting with the other kids, but you're doing parallel play.
Yeah.
Same
thing. And there's a little interaction. Yeah. You know, you'll check this one out. Oh, what should I do?
You can interact when you want to.
Yeah. Right, correct. Yeah.
But record stores are like that.
Yeah.
You know, people come together there.
Yeah.
There's No Fun, the record bar.
Yes.
You know, like people go and listen to records. They'll have
Crespo DJs there, and it's amazing.
Yeah. You can bring in your own crate and DJ for an hour.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
So
really
like,
cool.
You sign up and you can play your own album.
Everyone is
I'd play
a DJ,
Edgar Winter, and everyone would leave, and then I'd be like, Frankenstein. And then I'd be like, we're out of here, guy.
Oh, yeah. You know what I used to do? Just over same thing. I used to DJ at a bar here in Buffalo when I went to school here. And it was like, you know, 4 a.m., the bar's closed here, as you know. it's 3 a.m. I'm like, these people are drunk. I don't want to be here. So I put on Sid Vicious My Way. Man, the door, everybody would start leaving. I'm like, I'm out. So there are those killer, or a band called The Birthday Party with Nick Cave. He has a song called Hands Up, Who Wants to Die? And Sonny's Burning is the name of the song. And it's like, Hands Up, Who Wants to Die? It's like, oh, geez, you know, everybody would just leave.
Oh, my God, I better get
home. So you can sabotage a good DJ night.
Can I ask you, what bar you...
Gables, which is no longer.
Oh.
Yeah, they were one of those cool places that were open during COVID for some reason.
They had the. MAGA. Did they have the Dancing Girl neon light?
No,
over
no.
There?
It was pretty much a North Buffalo bar. Oh, okay. Yeah, Fish Fry on Fridays and then dopey music.
Have you all heard about the analog nights that bars are having?
Yeah.
So, no. Like, they're having these nights where, like, you have to, like, lock away your phone. So, like, you know, where you put your phone in, like, those pouches and they lock them.
Yeah.
And then you just have, like, you spend your night at this bar. And it's just this huge thing where people do not want their phone anymore. And I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But can I ask you a question? This is my anxiety moment.
Yeah.
I saw Dave Chappelle once and they did the green sleeve where you had a, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I was there.
I said Omar. Amar and they did the same thing.
But it was so like, you know, and I'm like, where am I going? You know, like, it's okay. I'm,
I know.
You
know,
but it does. Yeah. It, now I think I'd be okay with it. I think it's burned out at this point.
We had that experience too, and my partner was like, because, you know, 17-year-old, they're like, what if she's having a bad time? What if she needs us? And we kept on hearing the phone like buzz, and then we got out of the show, and he looks at his phone right away to see if it, and it was Dory like messaging just him. Can I pirate a show on your computer?
Oh yeah, it's
which we will not say if it did or not because that's illegal and that's
allegedly.
Allegedly.
I think, and then, you know, the next version of that was having stations, because I think, because we're all anxious, where you can just go, like, you're going to the bathroom, and then go into that area, and they unlock your phone, so you can check it.
Yeah.
But,
oh God.
Honestly,
stations?
Wow. Yeah, like, you could go to an area to be able to, if you wanted to check your phone, but, I mean, listen, Jack White did that with concerts.
Right.
And I obviously have a love for Jack White.
He didn't do the pouches. He had security that would like tap you and kick you out if you were doing any.
Yeah.
This is like the first tour he did
alone.
The
first tour. Yeah. And then I think they ended up doing pouches at one point. I've seen him a few times.
Yeah.
but I don't know if my nostalgia for those shows or loving him so much came from my actually experience.
Right, actually, like, not being on your phone. Yeah.
Because also in my line of work, I always feel like I need to be like, oh, I'm here. I need to be posting. I need to be observing. I need to be putting notes in my phone. And I was like, I could be so in the moment that, you know, I think that lends to...
People aren't really watching their recording from the concert later, though. It's sort of like they don't know because they think it's so important. And then it's part of that infinite scroll.
It's
like, oh, this was, you scroll back 4 months and then there's like 40 clips from this concert and you just got to like get past it.
Yeah, I'm wondering why my cloud is so full.
On the photography front. So back in the day, there were like things on the ticket, no photography, no long lenses and stuff. Has that been relaxed or is that because
there's still that kind of thing. So I have some cameras on me a lot of times, and like there's compact film cameras that have like a pretty decent zoom on them.
Yeah.
And you can bring those in usually.
Gotcha.
I mean, it depends on what it is. If it's a major show, they might be stricter, like Town Ballroom. You know, it's not like, I don't think it's a threat to the photographers there to have this film camera there. So in my experience, and I can't speak for everyone because probably some concert photographers like, no, you'll get stopped. But I think it's more if you have like, you know, like a mirrorless camera with a big lens on it.
Right. Like an AP network.
Like point and shoots and stuff like that. Smaller compacts seem to be fine.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because a lot of these artists now are pushing photographers back so they can't shoot from
the pit.
They're making them shoot from the soundboard so that they're photos are better of themselves. Yeah. So it's funny because on that concept, like anybody can take a picture on their phone or any other way, but then the professional cameras are being moved back.
That's interesting.
But,
those rules have always been interesting. So I work in video production primarily is my thing. And I've worked with concert venues. I was with Art Park for years.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's the rules of the bands. There was a band that gave you 1 minute of the first song, and then the first song they start playing and it's like a musical interlude for the first minute. I'm like, does this count? Does the 1 minute
does the one minute
start as soon as he starts singing?
Or so is many it, rules
what is it? Yeah.
So many
I
rules.
Played by that rule in my own mind and no one cared, but it was literally 1 minute out of there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Coming up next, we're actually gonna do a little quiz because Charles likes his quizzes.
I love quizzes. Love them.
That's coming up
There's
next.
There's a science to them.
There is. Well, okay. Well, it's you don't just have to living put that pressure on the
quiz. That's all it means.
Coming up next on Group Chat.
Why do so many people turn to Buffalo Toronto Public Media? It's because we bring you more than just TV and radio. We deliver trusted news, inspiring performances, and programs for the whole family. From Nova and Frontline to BTPM NPR's local news and music sessions from BTPM Classical and BTPM The Bridge. Public Media connects you to the stories, music, and moments that matter. Explore more at btpm.org. This is Public Media.
Welcome back to Group Chat. I'm Bentley, and as you see, Tom has left the chat, not because he's mad at us, but I think he's mad at us.
He's
not mad.
But we've had a new person enter the chat, and continuing in the chat, Jordan Lima as our film. He's sort of been our film expert.
Yeah, there's
for
so much about
today.
Me that you don't even know.
I know.
So much.
Producer and CEO of Lemur Studios here in Buffalo. And we're honored to have Regina Barber, who is the co-host of the NPR podcast Shortwave and contributor to the Pop Culture Happy Hour, which we all love.
Yep. So, I'm their animation person.
I'm actually glad that they do recap the anime because I am just getting into it, so then I know what's going on. So.
One Piece, halfway through.
And joined today with us, a new member of the chat, Kiana Story. So I am the program director for The Bridge, which is our music station, alternative music station here at BTPM NPR. And Kiana is a voice on the station, amongst other things. So welcome.
Hi, thanks
Kiana.
For having me, guys.
We are, we wanted you to join us for this quiz that Charles is going to put an image up there. And then
I'm so excited.
Kiana,
I'm scared.
When it comes up, because we also have a listening audience, mm-hmm. can you explain it?
Sure. Can you describe yes. what oh, okay. you're yeah. looking at?
Describe okay. what you're looking at.
Yep. And then you have to guess what this
Oh, because
form
she's
of
younger,
media
she might not know
is.
It, as you're saying. So okay. she's going to describe it like,
as,
I get it. Okay.
Because Jordan called her the plant.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. The plant.
But also, we can all weigh in, but let's get warmed up with
Okay. Descriptions.
Kiana.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Oh, boy.
So I'm so competitive.
Okay, so.
Oh.
I don't know if I know this
What
one
are you
I
looking at?
I do. I'm looking at a metal box. It looks like you put a CD into it with a David Bowie.
Sorry. No, this is perfect.
Not funny, guys.
It says David Bowie. It looks more like
it's
a VCR,
dials.
But that's probably it has dials.
There we go.
Yeah, that's the word for it.
Yeah.
Lights.
Yes. One of them's green. Mm-hmm. Little something to put like an aux cord into.
Yeah.
Two of them. Do I know what it is? I'm assume it has to play music.
I mean, I'm sure you do too. Know what it is, right?
I do.
Yeah,
I mean, it is
too.
Before my time, but I'm familiar with what it is.
Okay, same. Jordan, who wants? Same. Okay, who had their hand? Did you have your hand up first? Okay, so we'll give it to Regina.
Sorry, I'm very competitive.
I mean, if there's points, I was
so when I was 16, yeah. one of my friends got a VW bus, and this was in it. It's an 8-track player.
Hmm. That is correct.
This yeah. would be like
I
the home studio version.
It's
right?
like a cassette. But it's like before.
It's like a fat cassette.
Yeah.
Like a big, like, what would you like a deck of cards times two?
And it's called an 8-track because it had 8 songs on it.
Mm-hmm.
8-track.
Is that why?
Yep. I had no idea.
Is that the killer 8 songs?
I did not know that.
You know, I would have thought it would be a different reason. I would have thought, but I guess.
They're like 8 wheels in there or something.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Like, I have no
I mean,
idea.
That could be it. Too.
I would have thought that there were 8 channels of recording that could be on it. But I don't know. Because stereo is 2.
Oh.
I
mean,
know.
That was according to Pat Colley, our executive producer.
I believe anyone other than me. I'm just saying what happened in my mind. I'm not telling you you're wrong.
Yeah.
I'm just saying
but it,
in my
I
mind,
agree.
My
it
mental
was,
process.
It was before me and Jordan's time, but yeah. like it was yes. still in that car. So that's how I knew it.
Yeah. I mean, some of the things carry over to other medias, though, like the view meters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
you know, his volume, all that.
I appreciate
okay, so,
the David
so
Bowie.
We're like putting our hand up, right?
Yeah, we're going to let Kiana have a crack at it first. Okay. I like her descriptions.
Yeah.
You're very good at that. Okay.
The next one's going to be funny. The next one's going to be, okay. I want to know.
What do you see, Kiana?
I see an amoeba
type
looking thing. It looks a bit, no. No, I thought I knew something. I don't.
I love the science angle. I'm sure Gina can appreciate that.
Maybe it looks a bit lemony.
Gina, does it really look like an amoeba?
No, it's a slice of a lime. That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Listen, it's all up
but
to
I don't
interpretation.
Know what it is.
Oh, I know what it is.
Amoebas take all forms.
It's all up to interpretation, and now I am seeing it in a different way, and the middle does look like an amoeba. A little bit.
I have no idea what it is, though.
So, Jordan, I think you had your hand
I don't know what
Jordan
it is.
Jordan did have his hand
This
up.
Is the
Oh, you don't know what it is?
LimeWire.
Yes!
Which
oh,
is,
my God, you're right.
Peak
oh, my God.
Music and
I
video
knew it was a slice
piracy.
Of a
lime. Yes.
Like, I think it was like a first peer-to-peer piracy kind of situation.
Correct.
And kind of like Napster, then LimeWire.
Yeah.
My computers suffer very much viruses.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Yes.
I was going to be like Sprite. I don't know.
Yeah. We also joke around that, like, when things are mislabeled in any of our systems here, that somebody must have, it must have been their LimeWire account.
Yeah. Yeah
and only certain like, people get that reference.
Cisco thongsong.mp3. I'm sorry, .exe. Because then you're like, I'll just open this. And then
Cisco is amazing. Yeah. Let's give so much props to Cisco.
That's a very specific memory.
Wow. And a very loud laugh. And a very boisterous laugh.
So next up. What is that?
Mahalo. I don't know.
What is this gesture?
Is it?
No, let no, hold on.
Hold on. What'd you just do?
Kiana, what did you do?
Mahalo. I don't know. What else is that?
Like,
what is
like
that?
Surfers. Like you're thinking like hang 10 or something.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Oh. Is this a phone? It's a phone.
It's like, call me.
Oh, yeah. I still do this. I know some people. Yeah,
some
like,
people. Yeah, I
people
like
are like
I do with bananas.
What
like
is
this?
I just like it's
so
a phone.
Does that mean?
And I
do
guess
hold
it's
like this. The
maybe
younger generation
do that?
After me, they all do this, but I still do this.
Okay. Oh, they do this?
Yeah, like because like it's like you're holding
like a hot dog or something.
Like you're holding like a
Oh my God.
I knew about the flat hand to the
oh
hand.
Wow
oh that
I thought they do this.
But you don't hold your phone like that when you hold it. Like you hold it like this.
But does anyone ever not have their phone now? Do you just hold the phone up because everyone
yeah
it's
or
just
people
there.
Are holding
just
like this.
Call me.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I still do this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay.
Good job.
All right, good to know.
Good job.
Good job.
Good job. You got that one.
Okay. Three more. Next up.
Do you want to explain the picture, Kiana?
Well, it's like another metal-looking box, but this one's plastic, I think.
Good.
And it is plastic. I've definitely seen this in my life. I think it's like a case of sorts for music.
How old are you, Kiana?
I just want to know.
We don't have to give personal information
sorry,
on
sorry,
the show.
Sorry. So you're right.
I'm 24.
No, you don't have to. Okay, that makes sense. Okay.
All right. So who what?
We both know what it is.
Regina, do you want to?
It's a VHS cassette. Yeah. I waited in line for the X-Files VHS cassette when I worked at the mall. Oh, no. Yeah. And I was 16. And that movie was awesome. And I waited in line. And it was great. And then I gave away that. I mean, 4 years ago, gave away this VHS cassette.
I know. We need those back. I mean, and Blockbuster.
Blockbuster.
The whole Friday night experience of... Or friends, don't have that anymore. Kind of what we were talking
Suncoast,
about earlier.
I think it was the store.
You had to rewind it, so
you had to
play
like,
all the way through.
Oh yeah, or you got a fine.
Yeah, you could have your own little box that was made for only rewinding it, and then when the movie was done, you would put it in the box to rewind it, and it would just for like minutes.
Wait, you had one of those? Why didn't you just do it on your?
I would
hey,
Rockefeller.
You could
no,
do it. It was faster. It was faster. Okay, yeah. Time is of the essence.
Wow.
You need the faster rewind.
I had enough time to rewind.
I actually have heard of that. Have you ever seen Superstar with Molly Shannon.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yes, of course.
In the movie, like the guy, like the hot guy, he like works at the like the he works at like Will Ferrell. I don't know.
But, yeah.
I don't know. He's a hot guy. He works at like the Rewind store.
Yes.
So that's I do. I've heard of this.
Okay. Good.
I've heard of this.
I'm proud of you.
I had a girlfriend that worked at Blockbuster. Yeah. And she recorded my favorite movie for me onto another VHS tape. She did that for me.
What was that movie? Was it an amicable breakup? Because I mean, I might not want to mention this.
This was a very long time ago.
I don't know if she can still get in trouble for that.
We got 1 minute.
Well, 1 minute.
Two more. Sorry.
And it's going to be a quick one. So,
okay. Yeah. Speed round.
Yes. 5 seconds to explain what it is, and then 5 seconds to guess what it is.
Okay. It's one, two, three. It's small.
Round.
Small and round, and has many buttons and says digital anti-skip protection.
It's right there.
I think
the
I know
words
what this
are
is.
There.
What is it?
The words are
there. Is it a?
No, say it.
No, say it. I'm embarrassed. Is it a Walkman?
You have no. Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Well, but
a Walkman for CDs.
Is a Walkman for CDs?
For CDs.
Compact disc.
And more specifically, like the kind that you would get at Walgreens, because it's Kobe, not Sony. And, so, but it looks like Sony. It's the same font. It's just Kobe.
It's a real Sorny.
Yeah. But it had another skip protection for 60 seconds.
And the last one.
Last one. Last one. We got it. Oh.
A flappy disc?
Close.
Close.
Floppy disc.
Oh.
A very flappy. Yeah.
Are those actually flappy?
Those are floppy disks.
Are those a floppy?
Well, because remember when the hard ones, they still called floppy disk, but the original ones were actually like floppy.
Yeah, the big, big floppy
and then
ones.
And then the ones that were like that big.
But these were actually hard disks.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Specific size were 5 1/4 and 3 1/2 inch.
Yeah.
This is 3 1/2 inch.
They're very pretty.
But even like this, the save icon for a while was that.
It still is. Yeah. No, like that will never, well, maybe never.
And people don't really know.
I say never, but then in 1 year.
From now.
Yeah.
People don't really know what that actually means. They just know that that's how they can.
So is that? Did I get a point for that? Even though I said flappy.
Yes, you did.
Yes. No, I
don't know what points. I don't know what we're giving you, but
we don't know yet. We're trying to
candy.
Figure out.
Oh, yeah.
Boba tea.
Water bottle. Charles has cookies in his cubicle.
I'll take it.
That's cool.
That's perfect.
That was great, guys.
Yeah, that was really good. I do. The 8-track was, I think, the hardest.
Yeah, I never would have gotten that.
Yeah.
No, I never had one, but I knew of them, I guess. But...
Yeah, barely.
All right.
Barely we did.
Well, thank you, everybody. I think we need to get this crew back together again, especially Regina, if you are going to be visiting Buffalo again.
I am.
We are going to poach you as many times as we can.
I have way too much knowledge about TV. It was my first friend. So.
Yeah. And I love the scientific angle, too. So if you haven't listened to her podcast, Shortwave, check it out. Even if you go on the website and look at all of the past topics, you'll be sucked right in.
Yeah. Our latest one that I loved was You're Pooping All Wrong.
Oh.
I'm learning so much about
gastroenterologist. We talked to one.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll check that out. And thank you to Jordan Lima, producer and CEO of Lemur Studios. Tom Calderon, who joined us in the first block, president and CEO of Buffalo Toronto Public Media, also a pretty big player in the media world with experience at MTV, VH1, Spotify. And thank you to Kiana Story, who you will hear on BTPM The Bridge, right in the middle of your day when you need that perking up the most. And thanks to Charles.
Yeah,
I'm thanking you, Charles.
Thank you, Charles,
for the trivia.
Yeah, thank you for keeping us in line. I'm going to let you take us out before I thank everybody for watching. And definitely watch us next week on Group Chat. We also have the podcast, and then you will also hear this on BTPM NPR Friday at 11. But Charles always has an important message.
Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe to this channel. Also, there might be an appearance next week that y'all were interested in. The GOAT might come back.
Who's the GOAT?
Well, I have
you. Have
to. I'll
like
listen
to clean up
to
yards.
I'll listen to the gastro podcast, and then you can watch the GOAT.
Okay.
Podcast.
Good side gig.
Thanks. We'll see you next week.